Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's talking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Always good to be with you and our audience out there.
Now, Charts and Markets has been doing very well in calling the market so far. People have a chance to get an insider scoop. Maybe explain that to them.
Yeah, we've had some excellent trades and also more of the strategic calls as well. So in order to celebrate this, we're going to open up a special discount at 25% off for new subscribers. And the offer is good till the end of the month. So, we can... I'm telling you, the trades by Ross have been outstanding.
Well, with the experience the two of you guys have put together, how come you're not running the Bank of Canada and the Fed? I think things would be
far too wise to take on something like that.
That's right. the economists who run the Fed and the Bank of Canada, I think they were once... Somebody put it this way. They're economists. They've never met a regular person, but they've had one described to them.
And, I've never heard that before. It's a good one.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's just, too slow to start hiking interest rates and then too keen to continue to do it expecting instant results. This is an economy. It's like trying to move an aircraft carrier with a 3-horsepower electric motor that you use for trolling, right?
You're right.
Yeah. You can move it. It just takes a while.
We have
listener questions here from Michael and Andrew. We'll start off with Michael. Hi, Bob and Jim. Here's a headline from MarketWatch. Turkish lira plummets to new all-time low after Erdogan's central bank chickens out on bazooka rate hike. Fed Powell has also put away his rate hike bazooka for now, but may reload once the dust clears from the demolition of the middle class. But Canada, Switzerland, and the European Central Bank are still firing their rate hike bazookas. Bob, what has become of the old-fashioned currency wars where central banks instead fired rate-cutting bazookas at each other and not directly at the public? Bob, can we survive without central bank monetary bazookas, and will such financial weapons ever be outlawed in the future?
Oh, yeah. I think at some point the recklessness and idiocy of central bankers will finally be understood, and the public will move to, you can't get rid of the central banks, but you can discipline them a little by putting the currency onto a gold standard. So, and I think that this will be the next stage of reform. The people are trying to reduce the power and influence of governments, and of course they have funded themselves with inflation through central bank exercises. And I think that the way to discipline them is, as I said, gold standard. It's wonderful. So, yep, bazookas, hey, no, the dread is not... This is one of the fascinating things in here. The street has been worried about rising interest rates. And if they look back in history, they realize that interest rates, short rates, go up with the boom and down with the bust. So actually, the 3-month Treasury bill rate rising is a positive indicator. But it peaked out a month ago and is down about 35 basis points. So perhaps it's changing. And perhaps that's signaling that this crazy boom is really over. So, but yeah, thanks for the bazookas.
Question from Andrew. The recent stories of landlords handing the keys back to the bank and walking away remind me of some ports paying and upon arrival telling LNG tankers to go away with their load due to full storages in late 2019. Do we need a headline story such as the obvious candidate WeWork to finally fold for a bottom to be in the real estate sector?
No, they don't do headlines really on the top of real estate other than, you know, percent gains and stuff like that. But we did one, I don't know, 6 months ago, outlining that quite possibly that was the top for real estate. And we used, residential series in Canada and the United States. Also, we used farmland values, not only in the States, but in Ontario as well. Came up with the farmland values in Ontario, and, oh, God, it was incredible. Made the percent gains on farmland values in the States look like nothing. So real estate, it'll go down with the post-bubble contraction.
Now, the whole idea behind WeWork providing an office space and so on. Now, if you were starting up and you needed an office space, they would be a good idea. You wouldn't be stuck with a long-term lease or contract or a building so you could come and go. So a nice concept, except with so many people working from home, such as you and I.
Yeah.
I've been working from home since 2011.
Yeah. And well, they've had the equivalent WeWork places. I got a friend of mine.
It's called Starbucks.
Had a building right across the street from Bentall, too. Remember when BC Lions were there? Well, anyways, in the 70s, Gary renovated the top floor, and we all had nice little offices there. And one secretary, manager, a gal that ran everything. It was great. So
we'll have some headlines with Bob Hoy when we return.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. We'll be taking a look at some headlines provided to us by the Trend Letter and our friend Martin Straith. Our first headline, the market's fear gauge just hit its lowest level since January 2020. Obviously, the speculators, investors still want a hot market.
Yeah, everybody's pretty confident. But, you know, a couple of months ago, we were hoping that the rally into around mid-year would develop a really good surge. And it has. And as a matter of fact, we got one on the Nikkei as well. Tremendous technical excesses on the Nikkei. So, hey, markets were likely to be good into mid-year, and we were hoping that you'd get a terrific surge, which we have. Mm-hmm. So we're now looking for declines perhaps into October, November.
Right. The Nikkei has had a 10-week advance, so they need a chance to catch their breath, I would think.
I guess so, yeah.
Bank of America says investors are fleeing tech stocks after baby bubble.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was part of it. They were about, maybe one line was the Magnificent Seven. Seven great, fabulous, big high-tech stocks that were, that was where all the action was, and that was kind of pulling up the ordinary stocks in the S&P, for example. So, it's been very good.
Yeah, that would be your Amazons, Facebook, NVIDIA, Microsoft.
Yeah,
those boys.
That was one of them. Wow, yeah.
Yeah, and the headline here, central bank's battle with inflation enters new phase of pain.
Yeah. Well, that's they really don't like rising short rates. And when the T-bill rate goes up, which is a market rate of interest set by market forces, the Federal Reserve has no recourse but to follow with rises. and then it stays up too long. Now, I'm just completing an article on this, and your worst nightmare is when the Treasury bill rate turns down. It reached something a little over 5% in May of 1929, and then it turned down. And that then was the signal that the boom was as good as over. So here we are. Interest rates, the T-bill rate rose into early June and is down by about 35 basis points. So it's like trying to make the call. Has it really turned? But that would be the same question in July of 1929. And then the rates continue to go down, and here is where the folklore on the street is just so wrong. And I collected a wonderful one from September of 2007, where the chief investment officer at Harris Bank said, it's absolutely certain the Fed will do Fed cuts, and it will drive the market. And all we know is that interest rates go up with the boom and down with the bust. And then I've got a chart floating around here that shows the S&P relative to T-bills. The fastest drops in T-bills have occurred with the fastest hits in the market. So how they go on about this is amazing. Now, we've got a headline here about the lithium mania and very positive stuff going on about lithium. I saw the guys at Sprott in Toronto maybe a month ago are hosting a special convention on lithium and all that sort of stuff. Well, the lithium price, we were following it, as you know, last year. And then in publications in October and November noted that this is probably a mania and it's probably over. Now, lithium reached 600,000 in the middle of November. And then it fell to about 160,000. And now it's back up to 250,000. But I'm telling you, 600,000 down to even on the bounce at 250,000 is a lot of air's gone out of that story. And it's the usual thing with any hot commodity story. In going up, the price attracts more production.
Yeah.
And in going up, it turns off consumption of that and people start looking for alternatives. So a classic blow-off in lithium, followed by a classic crash, probably with much lower prices ahead.
Headline, new renters pay an extra $500 a month in Vancouver and Toronto.
Wow. Yeah, I guess they got their rents boosted. There's certain parts of Vancouver you have rents can only go up by a certain percent. So I can't remember what it is, but yeah.
2%. But if you're a new renter, sky's the limit.
Yep, that's the way it goes. You know, Jim, traditionally, before the world went wild, like maybe 40, 50 years ago, the way the officials in the city were not holding back too much on developing property, and real estate guys were developing property and fixing up old ones, but the vacancy rate for rentals was always around 6%. So this really kept the lid on rents going up, and the whole game was attractive enough that there was plenty supply. And then, of course, you know, for the last couple of decades, everything's crazy in the financial markets. So,
yeah. And I feel sorry for young people. Bills that they have that we didn't have when we were young, Bob, was cell phones and cable.
Oh, yeah.
And a cup of coffee. Now what, $5-6? For us, it was 25 cents.
Yeah.
And even with inflation, they're charging way too much. So an interesting article in USA Today about how Starbucks makes money. Well, their mocha cafe chocolate coffee, the markup is 1,760%. Yeah, so a little bit of a profit margin there.
I can tell you about prices. When I was at university a long time ago, just out on 10th Avenue was the Varsity Grill, which was fantastic Cantonese food. And they had combination A, which was pork fried rice, chicken chow mein, and a pork dish, all heaped up. It was wonderful. And it was around a dollar. So as a student, I was sort of kind of out of money. And I'd been going there frequently, and Bing, the guy who ran the front, was very friendly and engaging. So I got sitting down in the booth, and I said to Bing, I said, listen, I got a little bit of a money problem here, so please bring me 87 cents worth of combination A. Well, he thought that was the funniest thing in the world. And, of course, I got the full whatever, and it was wonderful. So then many years later, when I was going out to UBC, doing the research at the library, I'd stop in, and by this time, combination A was up to $4 and exactly the same. And then they closed down about 10 years ago, and combination A was up to $7.50, but it was enough for two. So that's just personal experience with rising prices at the retail level.
Now, here's an interesting story. The town of Seaford in Delaware is looking at giving businesses the right to vote. And there are more than 1.8 million registered businesses in Delaware, a very business-friendly state, apparently. Seaford, a town of 8,000, wants to allow those corporations the right to vote in local elections, as if big business didn't have enough influence over politics already.
No, I think that's interesting because something like 60% of employees work for small businesses. And why not? I'm going to read this article. It's fascinating.
Yeah, well, you know, so you could have robots doing the voting because they're the registered entity.
I don't know about robots, but you, if a business is registered as a voter and it has one vote, I guess the proprietors of the business have the right to determine how that vote's going to go. This is really interesting. I'm going to read the article.
And our the last headline we're going to look at here, Irish farmers revolt over plan to cull 65,000 cows a year for 3 years.
Now, it's cow flatulence they're going on about.
Oh, dear.
And they think that the... And they call it methane in North America, methane in England.
Natural gas, too.
And it's natural gas. And so they're worried about animals' flatulence. But you get down to it, Jim. The CO2 in the atmosphere has nothing to do with climate change. It's all in orbital mechanics of the solar system and cosmic rays and clouds and all that sort of stuff.
Volcanic activity.
Oh, plate tectonics, volcanic activity. You know, the amount of CO2 being put out just by the volcanic activity on the ocean floor, the Mid-Atlantic Rift, is astounding. And it goes into the ocean, of course, from these bubbling up volcanoes undersea, and then that increases the amount of CO2 in the ocean. And you've got the gas laws that say that at a certain temperature, the ocean can hold that amount percentage of CO2. And if the temperature goes down, it can hold more. Yeah. And if it goes up, it releases CO2 to the atmosphere. And this is where you look at the chart of CO2 concentrations in the atmosphere, and it has a seasonal up and down to it. Well, that's all built in between leaves coming on in the spring and the oceans warming during the summer and all that sort of stuff. It's like clockwork. So I get really fed up with these non-scientists taking fear stories in order to control people. Now, part of the control is the tax. So a control freak gets to fund himself through taxing CO2 stuff, and then they get to impose their will on ordinary folks through rules and regulations. It's been the biggest scam in history.
Well, I fail to see how a carbon tax can control the Earth's orbit, solar activity, and volcanoes.
Right. Hopeless. Yeah. Absolutely hopeless. But you know, Jim, I'm an optimist. I think more and more people are beginning to figure it out. And also, the promotion and the fear about CO2 and warming, it's been on for 30 years now. And there's no extraordinary climate events going on at all. So ordinary folks are soon going to figure it out and give these guys the walk.
And also an interesting headline I just saw here pop up on my phone. You know, Canadians pay half their income to taxes, and taxes are not included in the cost of living index.
Of course. Of course not.
That's so governments,
the government, they're not going to include it in the CPI calculations. Nope. It's all a bunch of crooks out there.
And we have a new double carbon tax coming on our fuel on July 1st. Happy Canada Day.
Oh, yeah. And that's all Trudeau. He doesn't act for Canada. He is the World Economic Forum's guy. They control him in the office, in the Prime Minister's office. And within the office, there's a special appointee. You can look this guy up, David Morrison. And he is a special advisor within the Prime Minister's office, at the Prime Minister's pleasure, for the last some 5 years. And if you look at David Morrison's credentials, he spent 5 years in Geneva as a director of the World Economic Forum. And the last time I looked at the World Economic Forum, their main site, and they are just urgent as all can be about carbon dioxide and stuff. So there's where you have in Canada, the Prime Minister represents the WEF to Canadians. He has nothing to do with Parliament and the wishes of the public. It's a very bad situation.
Bob, always fun chatting with you, and maybe remind our listeners once again about your special offer.
Oh, yeah. We have had marvelous trades, and we'd like to get that out to more people. And so until the end of the month, 25% off of new subscriptions, and we'll welcome you to the party.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.